Joining us on the WBGO Journal is a man who does so many things it's hard to characterize it in just a paragraph, but we will try. Broadway actor Dwayne Clark, who's not only taking some time off because of the coronavirus pandemic from all his shows on Broadway, he and his wife, Janice, are part of the Vanguard Theater Company. They run that, and she is the artistic director, and he's very much involved. He's a father, and we're going to be talking about that, of two great children. He's an author, and that's really what we want to talk about, everything involved, as well as he has a new podcast that he's been working on for quite a while, too. Dwayne Clark joins us on the WBGO Journal. Dwayne, great to have you on the show.
Sir, thank you so much for having me. It is a great privilege. Thank you so very much.
So since the last time we talked, so many things have happened in this world, and one being the coronavirus pandemic. So first of all, tell us, you have two kids at home. How are you handling the situation? I know there's the online learning that's going on, the homeschooling and all that has to take place during this time. How are you handling that?
Oh, you know, I think we're handling it a bit okay right now. It took some adjusting to get used to because, you know, school is not the same as it was when we were in school. So
that was ages ago for me, though, Dwayne.
I know. I mean, you know, some of the equations and things, you know, it's like, really? Like, this is like third or fourth grade math. But but we figure it out. They have learning portals that they are on. So there's a certain schedule that they have from the school that my wife basically sets up. We make sure, you know, their bedtime is still around the same time, even though they try to stay up. We get them up early because DJ's class actually still has morning meeting every morning in the school. The whole school gets together, but his class is actually still having video calls in the morning. So they do that at 8:30, and then we start to work about 9. And Janice has that set up, and then she also has some other homeschooling work. And there's a lot of reading time in there and writing. We also are still continuing music lessons for the both of them. Jada has her virtual dance classes as well. So, you know, we're pretty much adjusting to it.
And through all of this, you have stayed busy. You have written some new books, children's books, that really tell some great stories. And you've included yourself and your kids and your home life. ClarkFamilyBooks.com is where people can find these books, as well as on Amazon. Let's talk about One-on-One first. It's a story about a father sharing his love of basketball with his son, and in this case, it's Father Dwayne talking to son DJ.
Yes, sir. I truly believe that every child is a gift to the world, and what a great blessing both of my children have been to me in my life. I've gained so much clarity by watching them and their innocence, and I've learned, relearned, and unlearned, and relearned again, you know. But this book, One-on-One, From Dad to Son, at first I wanted to call it The Crossover, but then I realized that Kwame Alexander had a book out called The Crossover, and DJ loves basketball. The story had kind of been in my belly for many, many years, and I kind of sat on it, and I didn't act. And this past summer, I said, you know what? It's time to make it happen. So I sat down, I cut everything off, and I just started to write. And I started to speak it as well. So I was doing both, writing and speaking. And I had met a great gentleman named Paul Lavenhar, who's an incredible, incredible gift to my life. And he's been helping me formulate all of these books. So my love of basketball is that I played basketball for the majority of my life. I had the dream, like every boy from Newark and Irvington, of getting into the NBA. And at some point, I realized that wasn't going to happen. But I still had a great foundation that I took with me in my professional life. So because DJ and his friends are learning the game, I thought to share our experience. Because we do watch a lot of basketball games. We do talk about the history of the game, where it started, Dr. James Naismith, how he started it, why he started it, what was the purpose of it. And then just a lot of the players who inspired me. And, you know, we start with Dr. J, of course, and we go into Kareem and Magic and Michael Jordan, of course, and then a lot of the players that he loves, which is, you know, Seth and LeBron and Kyrie and Shaq. So it's him telling his friends about his love of basketball and what we share as father and son.
And now that the basketball games have stopped, I would imagine the conversations have changed somewhat, right?
Kind of, sort of. our outside time, because we've been blessed to have a little hoop in the backyard, our outside time is basically, you know what, I'm drilling. I'm like, left hand, right hand, let's get it. Let's work on this jump shot. Let's make it happen. So we're getting it in because he wants to play. But I want him to have a good foundation. I just don't want him to go on the court and think he knows what he's doing without a foundation. So I'm taking this time to really kind of really coach him.
And things that you learned when you were a kid playing basketball, you eventually took some of that team building and discipline to become a Broadway actor.
Yes, sir. I had no idea I was going to be doing that for my life. Let me just say that. In Newark, you know where I grew up around a lot of talented people who were just, as I say, were just sprinkled on, you know. When you think about musical prodigies, when you think about a guy like Marvin Gaye, or you think about Aretha Franklin and all these people who were just gifted to do it. I grew up around talent like that. Faith Evans being one of them from the area that was just a tremendous talent, R&B singer named Joe, Kelly Price, the Ross family, and many others. So I never really thought I had it, you know. But the opportunity came up in about 93, 94. And a friend of mine said, you need to come to New York. I was in seminary, and a friend said, you need to come to New York and start singing. So I did the Apollo Theater, and I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know. So I kept winning there. It was weird. I was like, what is happening? So I kept winning. They kept bringing me back, and then I booked Motown Cafe, which was a place on 57th Street, sang there for about a year. And I met a lot of people doing musical theater, and they said, hey, you should probably do musical theater. I was like, okay. So I went to an open call audition with my headshot. That's all I went with, the headshot and face. And I like to sing Motown music and stuff. It was right up my alley. And it was hard work. Now, it was hard work just to even keep up in an audition room, right? So all the foundation and the time management, I had to apply all that to, you know, auditioning even just for a Broadway show.
Say hi to the people, DJ. So, we came up with this little ditty, and then we're going to be out of your way. You ready, D? So we will get through. 5, 6, and.
We will get through. We will get through this.
Yeah, one more time. Oh,
we will get through.
Good.
We will get through this.
One more time. Oh. Sound good, bud.
We will get through this.
We're speaking with Broadway actor Dwayne Clark, who is also an author. We've talked about a little bit about One-on-One, his first book in the series, but Me, My Mom, and My First Violin tells the story of how your daughter Jada is dealing with an artistic family and how her whole life has been influenced by the musical careers of you and your wife, Janice. How did this come about?
Well, you know, for Jada, you know, she's the first gift, of course. DJ's the second gift. But Jada, I actually had another book in mind for her at first, which was going to be more of the female perspective from the game. But then I had a couple of conversations with people, and I said, you know, well, maybe we'll tell a different story. So I know that she loves the violin. I know that. You know, she's very, very gifted. And so I sat with Janice and her, and I said, you know what? I think I want to formulate a story about her first violin experience. And I sat down. I got some things from Jada, and I always hear their voice, but I got some things from her just about what she loves, how she got her first teacher. Her mother came up to her one day and said, Jada, you know, I think you should play the violin. And of course, Jada was like 2 and a half. And Janice kind of had this vision. So anyway, the story goes that, you know, Janice found a teacher for her, and Miss Amy shows up at the door, and she's this vibrant teacher with a lot of energy, and Miss Amy comes in, and they have their first lesson, and Jada's kind of like, okay, what is this thing? Now, it started off with a box, you know? It didn't really start off with the instrument itself. And Miss Amy would show her just her hand positionings and things, and Jada really began to like it. Now, what they did was they actually got the Suzuki method. A lot of kids start with Suzuki, which is basically a lot of memorization. So a lot of the songs Jada memorized, maybe like the first, you know, 5 or 6 songs, she memorized very, very quickly. So So the story tells about how discipline, how sitting up and practicing when you don't want to, actually sitting down, learning notes, you know, how much time and effort it really takes when you really, really want to accomplish something. So the book is, you know, about her first violin and her first competition, which she won when she was about maybe 3 and a half. And yeah, and I think that, you know, it's a story that a lot of kids could maybe relate to. Doesn't have to be instrument. It can be anything, you know, a parent sharing something with their child and trying to bring out the best in them.
And really, what a better way than to experience time with your kids during this whole, you know, while we're all at home and trying to have more conversations and maybe, you know, social media is important, but that one-on-one connection that you can have with family members is so crucial right now. So I would imagine that during this time, during the coronavirus pandemic, it's going to spur maybe some really unique story that you would might not have ever thought of that you will be sharing not only with DJ and not only, you know, with Jada, but maybe a whole new series has started on how kids are handling this situation.
Yes, exactly. I've had many, many nights where I'm not sleeping, and those thoughts have definitely come to my head. Now, I wanted, you know, to start with these first two books and build a series. One, because, you know, even doing what I'm doing, you know, for 26 years now, performing on Broadway and all over the world, it has been a tremendous, tremendous experience. But the one thing that I know is that, and I'll just say this bluntly, I know that it's not mine, so to speak. I'm always working for someone for a wage, right? And I sit down and I listen to people, and I'm like, you know, with all the abilities and skills that I have, what could I do to begin to branch out to really, you know, use the skills that I have to try to build a business? And this is the one thing I want the kids to really take hold of, is that they can use their skills to actually become entrepreneurs now. So the book series is going to be built, and prayerfully, eventually, you know, I have about 4 or 5 stories of their own, which they wrote in school, which I'm going to publish, which I had absolutely nothing to do with. But I want them to realize that they can build passive income by using the skills that they have. And I don't want them to wait till they're 13 or 14 to do it. I think they can start now. So, yes, so even building stories around this time when people are trying to find something to believe in, when people are trying to cope with anxiety, what do you do during these times, you know, as a child? So, you know, we exercise a lot. We read. We watch the news. So, yes, those are definitely stories that we can definitely build on and tell.
And some of your future books that I know you're thinking of, I love them because I'm somebody who, you know, constantly is reminding students that I talk to is to reach out to the older people in your family and to show them that you care and ask them questions and interview them about their lives. And I know that you have a family trip to visit the grandparents, your aunt's beauty shop. I think that's a great idea, and I think it's just a way to open up a whole new world for these kids.
Yes, I agree 100%. I try to listen to a lot of, like, old-school Earl Nightingale. I listen to Zig Ziglar. I listen to Les Brown and a lot of motivational speakers and preachers and ministers. And, you know, there's something about, especially, I'll just say, you know, even in my community, I can really only speak for myself at this moment, we just don't know a lot of our history. And because I have children whom are going to be asking questions about where they're truly from, I sat down with my mom. My mom had broke her hip a few weeks back. And when she recovered, I said, you know what? We're going to sit down. I'm going to put this recorder on, and we're going to get this story. So I said, where are you from? She's like, I'm from Newark. You know, I want to make sure, you know, she was clear. My mom's about 82, 83. And I just asked her how she became an entrepreneur in the 60s about, you know, how she wanted to really have her own beauty shop and what it took. What type of business skills that she had to have. These are stories that she can pass down to Jada and DJ that they can now have to maybe even tell their children one day. And then the family trip to Michigan is my, of course, Janice is from Michigan. So I had thought about that story when we were actually there this past Christmas. And I said, you know, this is an interesting thing because, you know, we drive 10 to 12 hours people always drive around the country. Let's tell our story from our perspective about how we do it and how her family tradition is now being passed on to the children. So, yeah, so that was actually being edited right now. That's going to be on Kindle probably next week, and then it'll be available for hard copy probably the week after.
Once again, these books are available on Amazon and ClarkFamilyBooks.com. Could this possibly lead to maybe even some sort of musical that telling the kid's story?
Exactly. See, Doug, we're like eye to eye, even though we're not seeing each other. You know, I got the fingers up. I'm doing the eye thing right now. I've had visions of that. I've had visions of an animated series, actually, which I think could be created. The animated series, I was thinking, basically could be around Janice's theater company. I think we have so many great characters that come in and out of the house and that actually are with her summer camp, you know? It's kind of like every summer they have a sleepaway camp. They have 60 kids that go away. That is an incredible story. But, yes, I thought about each story for the stage as well. You know, an hour show to travel around, you know, to schools, definitely thought it. And it could be done very, very minimally. Especially the basketball one. You know, all I would need is a hoop, a drawn-out basketball court on the stage, and a makeshift stairwell to go upstairs, and a bed up top with, like, some old Dr. J posters, Michael Jordan and stuff. I totally see it.
How difficult has it been for the Vanguard Theater Company, knowing that, you know, people can't come to class, can't be involved in shows? How has your psyche, both of you, been with this?
Yeah, well, the great thing is that we actually had about 70 kids from October until January. We had 70 kids. We did the Wiz of Oz, and Janice is a brilliant visionary. She's a brilliant, brilliant visionary, and I'm very blessed to have her in my life. But she had this vision, and she wanted to mix up the Wiz and the Wiz of Oz, so she called it the Wiz of Oz. And we had 70 kids, and we tried to instill greatness in them. We tried to, you know, mesh the acting, singing, dancing, which some of them had never done before. These were all different types of children from all over New Jersey, all different types of socioeconomic backgrounds, all type of religious backgrounds, and we made it happen. So that ended in January, and this was kind of sort of, you know, right before all of this was hitting. Now, her company always plans in advance, of course. So right now, they just actually purchased the building, which is awesome, because they were just going from space to space that they can get. So they just got a building, and they have to do a lot of renovations. So a lot of the money that was going to be raised for that specifically is now in a bit of a standstill. But a lot of the coaching and things can still happen via Zoom or via FaceTime, because people are doing things virtually now. The one thing that I try to do with my podcast also is I try to put out a positive word. Because right now, mentally, I think a lot of people just are struggling. And for artists, people who create, you know, it's affecting us in the pocket just like everybody else. And a lot of us only get paid when we work, of course. So I just try to offer a positive word, what we can still work on, how we work on our bodies, how we work on our minds, and how it's most important to work on our beautiful minds. And don't let this pandemic take us out, because we will get through this. So with the theater company, I think that they're going to come out very strong. They're still having their board meetings and, you know, still thinking about planning. They've got their next season lined up already. They're going to be sending out videos for that. They've got the summer camp just in case it does happen. They've got four shows planned for that. They're still going to have their sleepaway camp. So, you know, driving forward, pushing forward, believing that greatness is going to happen, is going to continue to happen. That's just the mindset that we've adopted.
Where can people find Inspirations by Dwayne, your podcast?
You can find Inspirations by Dwayne actually wherever podcasts are. I am on Spotify. I'm on Apple. Also on Anchor Radio /FM. I actually use Anchor Radio. But you can get it wherever podcasts are, yes.
Some of our listeners might not know that Dwayne and his wife Janice actually met during the Broadway production of Urinetown. But if you got to see Dwayne in the Broadway production of The Color Purple, continues to be my daughter and most likely mine too, one of our favorite shows of all time. How many times do you relive that experience on the stage? It was such a powerful show.
It is by far the best, one of the best experiences I've had on the stage. And I will say that because I think that I think everything in life starts from the top down. And John Doyle, I just happened to have the same last name as you, John Doyle, who was the director, just had an incredible vision from the first day. Now, he had many life experiences, I think, which prepared him for the moment. Therefore, there was a very big spiritual element that came into the room from day one. This was not the typical Broadway show. This was not the typical Broadway rehearsal. This was not the typical Broadway performers. We all had a commonality of being based in church, to be honest with you, all of us. And because of that, the music just spoke to everyone, and it speaks in a different way. So when people would come to experience just the Broadway show, they would actually leave with a spiritual experience. And I mean people from all walks of life. We had a chance to, you know, talk to women who actually lost their daughters to police violence. You know, like who gets to do that at a Broadway show? We got to, you know, say speeches during Broadway Cares about the African-American experience. Who gets to do that? What producers ever allowed African-Americans to do that? So there were so many great things. We partnered with the Police Athletic League to raise money. We raised $25,000 for the Police Athletic League through our launch of hashtag I'm Here. And so it was just tremendous. You know, Cynthia's doing big things. I always knew she was a gift to the world. And she's doing big things with her movie career. And there's so many actors from that piece who are doing really, really great things. They got a lot of great shows coming out. And the one thing that show taught me, you know, I've always been humble, I think, but it definitely humbled me in a different way. You know, as actors, we don't always get the lead roles. Sometimes you have to take ensemble because you have to feed your family. But in that show, I believe there was not one of us that didn't shine. There was not one of us who weren't seen, so to speak. In a lot of shows you do when you're in the ensemble, you're just made to feel like you're, you know, third tree from the right. But in this experience, I think everyone knew they had something to give somebody in the audience. And that was tremendous. I know I said a lot, but it was tremendous.
I can vouch for that, too. Well, the Clark family living in South Orange, once those doors open, once this all clears, there's so much talent within that house that I don't even know if the doors can hold it all in at one point. But Dwayne Clark, continued success to you, your wife, Janice, and to also Jada and DJ. We're excited about the book series. Good luck with it. We know it's going to be a big success. But I think, you know, your message of exercising your body and your brain is something that we all can really, from kids to adults, can really take hold during this crisis.
Yes, sir. I agree. And let me just say this last thing to you, sir. One, I'm going to be posting on Facebook and Instagram Live probably first thing in the mornings. The times that I'm going to be doing some workouts just for adults, for anybody to join in. The other thing is that I actually am starting to go out as a motivational speaker as well. So I have a motivational speaker site as well. It's called youthmotivator.com. And also Clark Family Books. Those two are linked together. So I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve, and I'm here to serve in a big way. And thank you so much for having me on. I'm humbled, and I'm grateful. You know.